It is good to be here this morning. We are thankful that each of you is here. We're beginning the new year with a fine audience, with several visitors and most of our members here. We're glad to see Dennis and Molly back with us, and let me just make a suggestion. The doctor has told Molly not to be in crowds for a while because of trying to get the wound to heal where she had surgery. And so I suggested to her, you go ahead and come and sit toward the back and don't shake hands with anybody. Just wave. And we're just so glad that they're here and glad to have visitors with us. And I'm glad to have Trent and Hannah Adams visiting with us this morning. Trent is a Bible major at Freed Hardeman. They live just up the street from me, and he may be interested in talking to us about working with us, and we're just glad that they're visiting with us today and meeting everybody. Just so glad that you're here. And by the way, since this is the first Sunday, this would be a good time for you just to decide, I'm going to be present at every service I reasonably can. There will be times that you can't reasonably be here, but that I can reasonably be during this entire year. I think we are just ready to begin some growth and to do a lot of good, and it's going to take all of us. I'm committed to you, and we all need to be committed to the Lord to do His will. We're glad you're here. We are beginning a new series of lessons this morning on Sunday morning, and we'll begin another one on Sunday night. Our Sunday night lessons will be centered around Bible stones. I have about 12 lessons ready, at least the subjects, and pretty well ready to study on that. And we are going to be looking at that on Sunday nights. On Sunday morning, our theme is going to be centered around Jesus. In a sense, we have for the last 22 weeks talked about that which was written in red, and just looking at what Jesus taught. But I want us to think more about Jesus, not just about Him, but learning to know who He is and what He is and what He means to us. Jesus is the thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. He is the center of the entirety of God's Word, and we need to be able to put Him in proper focus. Next Sunday, we'll talk about, do you know Jesus? And then the next Sunday, we'll talk about built on the rock on Sunday night, and build on the rock the next Sunday night after that. That will tie in with our Sunday morning lessons. What think ye of Jesus? Jesus asked that question in Matthew 22:42. He said, what think ye of Jesus? And I ask it this morning in a personal way, and ask you to think about it in a personal way. You know, we'll talk about others think this, and others say this, and others teach this, but what do you think about Jesus? I want to give you six ideas this morning, and I'll give them in words that rhyme. I look for ways to help you remember the key points in a lesson, and to be able to take that with you and apply it. And so these six words will rhyme. There are those in the world who look at Jesus unidentified. By that, I simply mean that they don't even know who Jesus is. He is unidentified to them. This was true during the time that Jesus was on the earth. In fact, He made the statement to people in John 8:19, you know not Me, and you know not the Father. You don't know who I am. If you did know who I was, you'd know who My Father was. But you don't know who I am. It's hard for you and me to identify with this point, because I cannot remember a time when I didn't know something about Jesus. Some of the earliest things that I ever learned were learned in my home and in the Bible class of the little bitty ones about Jesus, about the Bible. I've never known anything except to know who Jesus was. I hope my understanding of Him today is better than it was when I first heard about Him. But I suspect that most of you that are in the audience this morning have heard about Jesus all of your life, and to you, He is identified. There are those who recognize that there's some great power in existence. Back when the Indians were the ones that dwelt in America, before America was really America. They talked about that great power in the sky, and they realized that there was something, but they didn't know who he was. They didn't understand Jesus for who he is. When Paul went to Mars Hill in Acts 17, you remember they had a statue there to the unknown God. They didn't really know who the God of heaven was, and therefore they would not have known who Jesus, his son, really was. To them, he was Jesus unidentified. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer at first did not know who Jesus was. Paul had to start with him and his family and teach them who Jesus was in order to teach them about the subject of salvation. When the eunuch was joined in his chariot by Philip in Acts 8, you remember he was reading from Isaiah. He knew who God was. He believed in God. He didn't know who Jesus was. You remember the question he asked, is this man talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? Some of our missionaries today go into some parts of the world where people do not know who Jesus is. A few years ago, the Iron Curtain fell and we had the opportunity to go into Russia. I haven't been there, but I've talked to many of the people who have. And they'll relate how that they go in and begin to teach from the Bible, and people really don't know who Jesus is. They have no idea of the idea of the Son of God and Jesus as the Savior of the world. To them, he is unidentified. Every person ought to have the opportunity to learn about Jesus. Many will not accept him, that's a fact. Many will not believe in him. They will not follow him. But even Jesus himself said, take the gospel into all the world and preach it to every creature. Every creature, every human that is living today has the right to learn about Jesus, who is the only way of salvation, John 14:6, the only Savior that has come to this world. And that's one of the reasons that we emphasize doing what we can to take and to send when it comes to the Great Commission. To some, Jesus is unidentified. To others, he is Jesus denied. They have read about him, maybe have heard about him in many ways, possibly have even opened the Bible and seen that there is a character in it that is called Jesus. But they have no religious ties to him and deny the idea that he is the Son of God. Even the Jewish people today, those who are Jewish religiously speaking, would deny that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah. Although they believe that there is a Messiah to come, they do not believe that Jesus is that Messiah. And so they deny him. Most other world religions that exist today would deny Jesus. Those who follow the concept of evolution would deny Jesus. Those who are involved in humanism, promoting self as one's God, would deny Jesus as the Son of God. 2 Peter 2:1 says there would be those who would come in teaching damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Hebrews 6 says that there would be those who would fall away and would deny him to the extent that really he'd have to be crucified again if he was going to do them any good. Here again, this is a little bit difficult for us to understand personally because you and I believe in Jesus. We believe that he's the Son of God. We believe that he is the Savior of the world. We believe that he is the answer. And yet there are people in the world today, even some who are religious, who deny Jesus Christ for who he is and what he is. In the third place, there are those who look at Jesus as Jesus crucified. And I use that to suggest the idea of those who would accept that there was a man named Jesus who lived in Nazareth, who they say was a good man in many ways. they would admit that he had followers. They would admit that he had an influence, perhaps even a good influence. But then they would say, remember, he was crucified. He was put to death by those who were against him, and he was buried, he was crucified, and he's in his tomb. He died, and he no longer existed after that time. They try to accept his life without accepting his death and the events that followed it. This would be what you might call a historical faith instead of an obedient faith. You probably remember that James 2:19 says the devils believed and trembled. And you may remember that John 12:42 said among the chief rulers there were those who believed on Jesus but would not confess him lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of God more than the praise of men. You see, they accepted the fact that he existed, and possibly even in John 12:42 realized to some degree that he was more than just a mere man. But so many today would say, yes, he was a good man, but that's all he was. He was nothing more than that. Terry made the point in our Bible class this morning that really, in a sense, Jesus could not have been just a good man, because if he were not the Son of God, he was one of the biggest liars that ever lived. For he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Savior of the world. He claimed to be the answer. And though he did good things, unless he's the Son of God, he was a liar, he was a hypocrite. He certainly was not just a good man, but to many people today, that's how they look at Jesus. Jesus crucified. I have been to many of the tombs of biblical people. I've been to many of the tombs of some of our presidents of the United States. I had an opportunity to go to the tomb of King David. And in every one of those, the mention was made, here's where the body is. This is the burial place. This was the end of it for this person as far as life is concerned. I had an opportunity to visit the Garden Tomb, one of the two places that is recognized today as a possible place where Jesus was buried. And the guide at that time said something different from all the other tombs that I had visited. He said, this tomb is empty. That's what the Bible said. That's what the scripture includes just after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Look, the tomb is empty. He's not here. But to many, they would leave him in that tomb. And even at that time, some claimed that his body had been stolen and taken away, and there were those who would probably accept that today. Yes, Jesus existed. There was a Jesus in Nazareth. He was a boy that grew up in the carpenter shop of Joseph, but he was put to death. And therefore, that was the end of it. Jesus crucified. Jesus unidentified. Jesus denied. Jesus crucified. And then to many people today, I think we have Jesus symbolized. We've just been through the Christmas season. We have seen, I'm sure all of us have seen, the nativity scene, which has become a symbol of the birth of Jesus. There are some things about that scene that are not scriptural. There are many things about it that are scriptural. And although I do not use it and think of it at any time of the year because it's his death on which we are to concentrate instead of his birth, I'm thankful that people at least think about Jesus to some extent at that time of the year. But think about the symbols that you have seen in the last few weeks that, in a sense, refer to Jesus. The cross has become a symbol of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with the idea of that being associated with Jesus. You may even have a cross that you might wear as a pin or something, and I don't believe there's anything wrong with that as such. But when that becomes the very meaningful part of it, and there's nothing more to it than that symbol, then it does perhaps present a problem to us. We are told in 1 Corinthians 13, in that great love chapter, that there is such a thing as a form of doctrine. And it seems to me that that's what happens so many times today, that people have a form of doctrine, and the context there suggests something that's a hollow. If you don't have love, you're like a sounding brass. That's a hollow ball, a brass ball perhaps, that you can thump on the outside and realize that it's hollow on the inside. And what he's saying here with this form of doctrine or form of religion or form of Christianity, that people just have symbols of it. They're not really converted to Christ. They're not really involved with Christ. Perhaps it's easy for us to do that and identify with a symbol of the cross or a symbol of the manger or perhaps an artist's conception of the picture of Jesus and think more in terms of that than the real Jesus in our lives. And even for us, we could come to the point that we have Jesus crucified. And then taking it one step further, to some, he is Jesus glorified. They not only accept his birth and his crucifixion, but they accept his ascension and his resurrection just before that. They realize, as he said in that great prayer of John 17, that he had come to glorify the Father and was asking the Father to glorify or to set him apart. And to many people today, he is glorified in that sense. Acts 3:13 says, God hath glorified his Son. And this point is not bad at all. In fact, it comes pretty close to describing the relationship that we ought to have with Christ. When we set God up on a higher level than us and realize that Christ is at his right hand, and we worship and give our adoration to the Father in heaven and to the Son and through that Son to the Father, there is a sense in which we are glorifying Christ. We are setting him apart. We're recognizing his greatness. We are accepting him for who he is. This would include the idea of accepting him as the Son of God, accepting him as the Savior of the world. And I think all of us that are here today have reached that point. And many other people that we know have reached that point. But I want to suggest to you that there's one other way that we need to think of Jesus. Now, think back for just a moment. We've talked about those who think of Jesus unidentified. They don't know him. Jesus denied. They do not believe in him at all. Jesus crucified. They believe that he existed, that he was a man, but that he was put to death. Jesus symbolized some level of Christianity, some degree of it at least, some level of religious activity. And even Jesus glorified, which begins to bring us to the attitude we ought to have of who he is and what he means and how great he is. But I mentioned to you a sixth one that I think is the real one, and that's Jesus personified. That's a big word. Think about the first part of it. Person. Jesus personified. And I'm not thinking of the word person here in the sense of him, but in the sense of me and you. That Jesus is really not what he needs to be until he becomes a part of us. A part of me. I don't mean in some better felt than told relationship. I don't mean something that's mystic and cannot be understood, but I mean that day by day living where Jesus becomes a part of me. You see, when each of us is baptized into Christ, we're baptized into him. We become a part of him. That's mentioned in Romans 6:3 and other places. And especially, it seems to me in Galatians 3:27, when he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And I'm convinced that that into Christ in that passage not only means entrance into him, but it means we're baptized into Christ's likeness. To live as much as we can like him. To live in him and for him. And then Galatians 2:20 says that he lives in us. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, real Christianity is when we become a part of Christ and Christ becomes a part of us. Does that mean we're down on our knees praying 24 hours a day? I don't think so. Does that mean I'm going to sit with the Bible in my lap all the time and just be reading from the Word of God 24 hours a day? I don't think that's what it means. Does that mean that we need to be in the church building all the time? No, that's not what I'm talking about. When Jesus becomes personified, that means that in the morning when we go to work, we realize that we're a part of him and he's a part of us, and we try to live right and do an honest day's work. It means when you younger ones go to school tomorrow that you, as a Christian, have respect for Christ, and that interprets into having, or translates into having respect for the teacher and respect for other people, treating others right every day. When we go home to be a part of our families, that means that we perform our responsibilities as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, realizing that Christ is to live in us and he is to be a personal part of us. Again, I emphasize, not some better felt than told, but that way in which he becomes a part of our lives. And wherever we go, we show Christ and let our lights shine, as he said in Matthew 5:13-16, so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Back years ago, there was a lady who heard a knock on her door. When she went to the door, there was a little boy there that was in ragged clothes and barefooted, looked hungry. She asked him in, gave him some milk and cookies, and maybe even gave him something to wear. Did a lot of good things. And as he was leaving, he looked up and he said, "Are you God's wife?" That's just about the best compliment that could be paid. In other words, this little boy saw in her life something that was like God or like Christ. And when you and I can live like we should, where people might think that we're related to Christ, and we are related, he's our elder brother, and that we're related to God, he's our Father, and that they can see Christ in us day by day as we go about living the abundant life and showing people who Christ is, then Jesus has become to us Jesus personified. You and I do not have any difficulty today with him being unidentified. We know who he is. I think we have no problem with Jesus denied. We would never deny who he is. And even though we accept his crucifixion, we realize it doesn't stop with Jesus crucified. And even though we might have things that are symbols and remind us, we don't put our faith in those symbols, but in Christ. Glorify him to raise him up, and then let him be Jesus personified in our lives. What think ye of Jesus? If you cannot come to that point of thinking of him in a personal way, you've got some work to do. And for one who's not been baptized into Christ to become a Christian, there's no way you can think of him in that real personal way. And if you are a Christian and you haven't been doing your best to live faithfully, and notice I didn't say perfectly, faithfully to him, then maybe he's not personified in your life. Maybe you need to come asking for prayers and forgiveness. If he's not really personified in your life, come to him as together we stand and sing.